It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Duke can't hold for the rest of the half, but Flagg is dribbling on the March Madness logo. Now he's driving, and his shot on the way. It's good, and the foul. Quick first step and a late reaction from Aiden Sherrell. Trying to stop him is going to give Flagg a chance at a three-point play.
The Westwood One NCAA Radio Network on the call. Duke to the Final Four. Houston to the Final Four. Florida, Auburn. Yep, all number one seeds. It's chalk, but I'm fine with it. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I don't think we make these sweeping generalizations that Cinderella's dead or that the sport's too top-heavy. I think it's just that kind of year, Pearl. And I'm cool with the all four one seeds getting through, like destroyed by bracket, but I'm cool with it because we get some heavyweight matchups in the Final Four, and I think it's the four best teams. Who doesn't want to see best on best? And then let's also be a little bit honest with ourselves. Cinderella is fantastic. I love it the first weekend of the tournament. But generally what ends up happening outside of like Butler and a couple others is Cinderella tends to get blown out in these Final Four matchups when they hit some of the bluest of the blue bloods, and I don't think we're going to get any blowouts. I don't think we're in danger of that at all.
Well, actually, Cinderella doesn't usually get through to the Final Four. I mean, occasionally, like Loyola,
George Mason,
Chicago.
And VCU.
Here's what I don't understand. Everyone's talking about the trend. Could the trend be that fast? That 2 years ago, we had Florida Atlantic and San Diego State in the final game. So, and last year, we had NC State come out of nowhere. I am shocked by people calling this a trend. And also the trend in college basketball seems the opposite of the trend in college football. So everyone's saying now it's too top heavy, but in college football the talent's been spread out. Explain all this to me.
Yeah, I don't agree. I think this is this year. I think you had these four teams. Listen, Auburn was the best team all season long until the very end where they lost 3 of 4. They're still the number one overall seed in this tournament. You know, Florida won the SEC tournament. It was the best conference. Yes, of course you think they'd be here. They needed some comebacks to do it. Houston has been knocking on the door. They've been to Final Fours. Hell, knocking on the door. But they've been to Final Fours in the last few years, and so they're back. And then Duke is Duke. So none of this is weird to me. None of it means more than just, hey, enjoy it while we have it. Now, let's pause on Duke for a second because they're the lightning rod of the Final Four teams. And we're asking you today two questions about Duke. Number one, are you taking Duke or the field in this Final Four? You're welcome to vote at Maggie and Pearl on X. And two, how much credit are you giving to John Shire, the Duke head coach, being in the Final Four 3 years after Coach K retires, having to coach in the shadow of Coach K, doing it, though, in his own way, Do you give him credit, or is it just the Duke program continues to churn and the, you know, brand recognition, the name recognition, the gravitas of the Duke program, where any Tom, Dick, or Harry could have taken over, you know, the program and they would have been here?
Anytime. But, what I mean, let's be realistic. There are a lot of great coaches that came out of Coach K. Do you think that Tommy Amaker could not have gotten to a Final Four within 3 years? Do you think that Chris Collins or Steve Wojciechowski? I'm not sure. I think that they would have been pretty similar, especially if they got Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, about that, right? They got Cooper Flagg, and Flagg may have wanted to play at Duke his whole life or be at the creme de la creme program, but that's not how it's going to be from now on. You know, yeah, you're going to have guys who want to go for the mystique of the program, but it's also going to be who's offering me the most money. You can do that now, and it will turn your head to go to a different program.
Now?
And, well, you know, now we all know about it. So
yeah.
Now it's above board. Now we know,
right,
exactly.
But I think a lot of people have a lot of money, and I think Duke gives you that branding and that visibility that other schools don't have, so you could probably get even more NIL money and marketing.
But here's the thing. Like, North Carolina doesn't have that.
Not like Duke. I think Duke's a little bit ahead of them.
Well, but again, is that because Roy Williams has retired and Hubert Davis, you know, made it to the national championship game, then missed the tournament, and now is back in the tournament the last 2 years, but hasn't really been to as much distinction? Like, again, I don't think it's a given that these programs just keep rolling and rolling.
Yeah.
You know, it's at some point, you tend to see a little bit of a drop-off when the OG is gone. Look at Syracuse now. I mean, yeah, you can maybe pick the wrong guy. I'm not saying that that Autry's the wrong guy at Cuse. I'm just saying it's not a given, I think, that John Shire is doing this. And let's be honest, he's, to EJ's point, he's getting better, right? It was Sweet 16, Elite Eight. Now he's at the Final Four. Like, the further away we get from Coach K, the better he's doing.
I understand, but it's, to me, I think a lot of guys could have had this level, could have even won a title with this team. You give Danny Hurley this squad, I think he would probably have won a title too. I think he's a good coach, but I don't think anything he's doing is really distinguishing himself as special. Like, he'll win the title, and he's going to have that, oh, you did it with Duke. I just think that's going to be a thing. I don't think it's going to be... Danny Hurley got all this credit because you kind of been down for a little while before, and he won back-to-back. Maybe Shire wins back-to-back, and then it's on. But generally, I don't think that he has distinguished himself as taking this sort of... mid-level, somewhat talented team. I feel like it's like Duke. Yeah, Cooper Flagg, the number one overall pick, and Duke.
I know, but...
And Cooper Flagg.
But here's the thing, though. We've spent 2 weeks now talking about this tournament where you keep telling me freshmen can't win it anymore. Like, where the freshmen aren't the thing anymore, and you got to be old, and you got to have hair on your chest, and all that stuff. But meanwhile, they're the odds-on favorite to win the tournament.
They were. So. I said that. I said all that when they were coming in, but I also said, oh, man, this run is super easy for Duke. There's a lot of tests coming. If they can beat Houston and they can beat the winner of Auburn, Florida, especially if they can beat Auburn, and Auburn doesn't miss 1,000 free throws, then I will be impressed. Because, yeah, generally, I think the old guys win the tournament. That's been the trend. And these are old, old teams. Houston and Auburn are ancient. They're kind of old for NBA teams.
I mean, you say that, but you're kind of right. 888-710-4476. Are you giving more credit to John Shire? Or are you giving credit to just the Duke program continues to roll? A couple things that John Shire has done, the little bit behind the scenes that people may not know. It used to be rare to find, I don't even know, did Coach K ever have anyone on his staff who didn't actually go to Duke? At least John Shire's got one assistant coach who was under Chris Collinsworth, I believe, at Northwestern. Chris Collins at Northwestern didn't go to Duke. He's got one. And then his general manager, because obviously every college team now has a GM. They figure out how to dole out the NIL money and the collective money and stuff, is a woman, Rachel Baker, who was a longtime Nike executive and also worked for the NBA.
Oh, Jai Lucas has been like his top assistant, who's now going to be at Miami. He's not a Duke guy.
So he's doing things a little bit differently than Coach K. And you have to, because it's a different era. Coach K caught the tail end of NIL, but, you know, this is Shire's world now. Transfer portal and NIL.
Yeah. brings up the question, how come Hubert Davis couldn't do, why is he not getting, he did have some top recruits, but why is he letting North Carolina fall like this? It seems odd to me.
I mean, he says is they don't have a general manager, which is what they're going to, the first,
is that what Hubert
first
Davis
order
said?
Of business. Yeah, yeah. First order of business is going to be hiring a general manager. And he said that the Carolina way doesn't win anymore.
Is he a recruiter for this era of teenagers?
Who recruits? Isn't it? Is it just about the money?
Mm. I mean, John Shire, because he's young. But then again, you got two older coaches in the Final Four, too, and you had like five of the eight final coaches were very old.
This is true.
Yeah.
I mean, Rick Barnes is he's recruiting.
And to be honest, like, yeah, you saw the emotional scene yesterday where Zakai Ziegler is crying in Rick Barnes' like arms. Like, they seem pretty connected, even though Rick Barnes in his 60s and Zakai Ziegler's, yeah, in his 20s.
There's also this narrative that John Shire relates to kids, and that's the key. But you had Izzo, Pearl, Kelvin Sampson, Rick Barnes, Calipari, Patino.
But you know the difference with Shire, though, is Shire was seen as the top lead recruiter for Coach K. And during that era where you're talking about getting these guys, Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, Okafor, Tyus Jones, Shire was the guy. He was the lead recruiter. Coach K is not flying around and going into people's living rooms the way he did it when he was younger. So when we talk about getting players, Shire was a big part of that in the last days of Coach K when they became this one-and-done factory. So I think there is some credit to that. Like, that was not Chris Collins. That was not Wojciechowski. That is not Tommy Amaker. Like, that's Shire. So if you're talking about the recruiting, I think he gets some credit for that because he got credit for when they were getting those top guys.
But do you really think that all those other guys couldn't have had success at Duke following Coach K? I think they could have.
I don't think they recruit the way Shire does. I really don't. Because Coach K had a lull, and then it wasn't until Shire became their top recruiter where they started getting these one-and-dones like Kyrie Irving and these guys. There was a time where if Duke, Coach K was shunning getting, yep, those one-and-done guys. And he had to change because he saw that he was ancient in terms of the way he was building a basketball program. Duke wasn't a one-and-done factory in the 90s. These guys were staying 3-4 years.
So if that was so good, then why did they have that little lull when Shire was recruiting for them?
He didn't have a lull. He what I'm saying, when he recruited, yeah, that's when they were getting Kyrie Irving and Zion Williams. That's when they were back to being championship caliber team.
Right, when's the last time they won a title?
14. Was it the
15, I think.
15, whatever. Yeah. I just looked it up. It was, yeah, the Jello Okafor team.
Okafor.
Yeah. Okafor and, yeah, and Tyus Jones.
But yeah, so it's been a while. So he's responsible for all that. I don't know. I just think that Duke is a powerhouse.
But those rosters, though, I mean, you're looking at, there was the rosters were totally different. Again, K was at a point where they, in the mid to early 2000s, they had slipped big time. You're talking about 5-seed, 6-seed, losing to VCU in the first round. Like, we kind of forget, like, what Coach Duke was for a little while. And then Coach K all of a sudden decided, you know what? I'm going to get the one-and-done guys. Yeah. And I'm going to do Calipari better than Calipari. And that's when we saw them finally win a title again.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was the biggest Corey Maggette fan there was. And he was a fluke. When he came to Duke and left, everyone was like, what is going on here? It was the exact, and that was, I think that's got to be before, way before Shire. Shire didn't even, was in middle school when that
Elton
happened.
Brand, right?
Yeah. Right, but that was not the, that's not how, that was not, that was the outlier, dude.
Yeah.
That was that
no,
one
No, they
year.
Started, Maggette started a stream, though. It was a trickle, and then it became a stream. Because Elton Brand, too, wasn't he one of them?
That was the same team.
Very, yeah,
same.
William Avery left game early that year as well. That point, the point guard that lost to UConn.
To bring it back to what Shire is doing right now, and going to the Final Four 3 years after Coach K retires, it's all different now. It's all different. Like, it's, again, the brand, the mystique, all of that, I think only takes you so far in college sports now for certain guys. That's it. It's about money, and it's about where can I start and where can I get my opportunity. And so getting guys to come off the bench, getting guys to buy in, it's just a lot harder. 888-710-4ISN.
But you should be able to have the most money. You're on TV the most. You get the highest ratings. Like, why would Duke be outspent? Their CBS loves Duke, obviously. And they want Duke to be in the final game desperately. I feel like Duke should be able to have these advantages. And I think being on TV every night makes a difference. I don't think it's an... I think Cooper Flagg did buy in the Shire, no doubt. But you can't ignore the brand.
Yeah, but I think North Carolina is the same brand.
No way.
I think they
no
do.
No way.
They're Jordan brand. They've got all, I think they are the other half of the biggest rivalry. They'll put as many guys into the NBA. I mean, they're right there. And yet, I don't think we're seeing, I think right now, UNC is a little bit of a precarious position.
Yeah, I just don't think lately, and I'm sure the ratings bear this out. I think Duke is a much bigger TV draw than North Carolina. I mean, North Carolina really hasn't had all those stars, unless I'm forgetting a bunch of people.
They always have stars.
Carolina's won a title more recently than Duke, by the way.
But, like, name Duke. I just think of the Zion year. You know, they just really have a lot of sizzle around that program. I saw an article in Sportico on how desperate CBS is to get Duke through because their ratings are way, way higher than everybody else come Final Four. I mean, it's not even close. They're just the big draw.
Yeah, they might be, but I don't think that it's, you know, that North Carolina is like a dog. Like,
well, I think honestly,
like, oh, no,
Kentucky's,
not the Tar Heels.
Could you argue Kentucky's right there with North Carolina?
Yeah, I think they might be. We're talking about blue bloods. I mean, yeah. North Carolina's been a blue blood longer than Duke. So
here's what I'm telling you, actually, Pearl. If Cooper Flagg was playing for North Carolina, you're telling me that there wouldn't be massive hype around Cooper Flagg?
Probably
you,
right.
You watched the Cycle T years. Of course there would be.
Cycle T stayed 4 years and wasn't even a great NBA prospect.
I'm talking about like the hype and the Cycle, appeal.
Right. But let me ask you a question, though. It doesn't feel like the Cooper Flags are going there. It does feel like Kobe,
I agree with that.
LeBron, Zion, the guys with one name all go to Duke. They don't seem to go to North Carolina.
Well, Kobe didn't go to Duke. You can't keep giving them players that he
also,
want to go to Duke.
Let's not forget, LeBron also says a lot of different things all the time, and including on McAfee last week said, I hated Duke all growing up and only started to like them after Coach K coached me on the national team.
But
whoever's asking
LeBron's
the
first name is Aesop. He's a storyteller.
But I also think, though, that everybody thinks if LeBron was going to go to college, everyone's like, well, where would he have gone? Of course he would have gone to Duke.
He would have gone to, or he could have gone to Ohio State.
Some people say Ohio State, too. It's not totally
he says he would have gone to Duke. Okay,
that
fine.
That one is for sure.
But LeBron's the king of leaving Ohio. He never would have gone to Ohio State.
Man, 888-710-4ISO, that hit. 888-710-4476. I don't know why our Ohio fans had to take a stray right there.
It's our Erie.
He came back.
And Ohio people.
Okay, wait, let me ask you a question. To wrap this up, if I put out a poll, which is a bigger basketball brand, Duke or North Carolina, who wins?
I think it's probably 50-50. Because neither one of them have this football brand that's overshadowing them, right? So they're both kind of swimming in the same waters there. And I think you have the greatest player in the sport went to one of the schools, even though it was in the 80s. It still matters. And it's been a steady stream since then.
What if I add the words right now?
No, well, right now, I'm not going to
Well, right now, one team's in the Final Four. The other team isn't. So it's like, that's...
It's loaded.
Yeah, it's loaded, exactly.
It would never hold up.
What's the highest rated...
If you asked before the season,
that'd be different. What's the highest rated title game since 1997?
All right, what's the highest rated title game since... When Carolina was in there, no one's passed Carolina.
No. It's just the highest two ever, Bird Magic, and then Fab Five versus Duke. The third highest is Fab Five versus North Carolina.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
But that was Fab Five. Yeah, that was.
Well, that was like a cultural phenomenon, too. That was a whole other thing. And now it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
More. Oof.
I just think Duke's the thing right now. Generally, history-wise, North Carolina is amazing. But Kentucky and Kansas are, too.
See, but that's the thing. And I think we're asking the question, who do you give more credit to for Duke making it to the Final Four? Is it John Shire or is it just the program? That's where I think Shire has to get a lot of credit. Because you're talking about North Carolina and Duke at one point being neck and neck right there in terms of who's the elite program in college basketball. And... a couple down years from Hubert Davis that aren't even that down, but a couple down years, and all of a sudden Duke is just, pulled into position.
And I think there's, forget about even Hubert Davis. Like, there's a reason why UCLA is UCLA the way they are now. There's a reason why Indiana is Indiana basketball now. You have these programs that at one point thought, oh, yeah, we're just going to always be great. Yep. We're just going to always keep the good times rolling. And for some reason, none of these other programs were able to do that. Now, Duke right now, and this Pearl's credit, maybe Shire will fall off. But right now, he's been able to keep that going. Like, Mike Davis went to a national championship game, and then he was gone pretty much a couple years later. Like, what is UCLA, how many basketball coaches they had in the last of 20, 30, 40 years since John Wooden left. I mean, it's. I think there's something to say about what Shires did compared to other big programs that are no longer big programs anymore because of what happened after legendary coaches left.
All right, 2022 National Title Game, 17 million tuned in for Kansas-UNC. Oof.
That's a lot.
No, yeah. It's terrible.
Wait, what did you say?
How 17 million. It's bad.
Right, but then 17 million also did Duke and UNC. So Duke didn't...
In the Final Four.
Yeah, so Duke...
That was the Final Four.
Right, but Duke didn't raise the spectrum to a crazy different level than UNC versus Kansas.
Yeah, I actually was going to say this all post-pandemic. The sport was in a dire spot. But that being said...
And by the way, no other... Besides Virginia Tech, Texas Tech, no other championship game has done more than a 10-point rating since 2016, which was UNC Villanova.
Yes, 17 million tuned in for Villanova.
That was such
UNC.
A great game.
The year before, 28 million tuned in for Duke Wisconsin. Duke's a bigger deal.
Yeah, but then 23 million did UNC Gonzaga next year. 23 million is a lot of people too.
It's not Duke,
but right now it's Duke.
Right now it's not.
But take it right now out of it, Ray.
I mean, honestly, yeah. Kansas, North Carolina. Was anybody excited about that? That was
That was a big matchup.
Yes,
no,
I felt like everyone was sad because Coach K just lost the game before. He was the narrative of that tournament. It was almost like Coach K's tournament, even
Bill
though he didn't
Self versus Roy Williams, history with Kansas. That was a big matchup.
Hubert
Davis, that one. But yeah, but to your point, okay, but that was also a coach hanging it up who was legendary. So yeah. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Just like a PS to that. That was the first year of the Maggie and Perloff show. We went to New Orleans when Duke and North Carolina met in the Final Four. And we were sitting with Kevin Kugler, who was calling the game on radio. And Perloff was trying to basically like slip him like lines. You were trying to give Kevin Kugler lines to say, like, hey, can you workshop this, workshop this? I was like, Perl, you're going to get something stuck in his head, and I'll never forget this. Your line, do you remember what it was to Kugler?
I do not.
Coach K's okay.
Yeah, solid.
Oh, my God. Ugh. Just.
Solid.
No. I was so worried we'd never talk to Kugler again.
And that's why he didn't pick up my call this weekend.
Doing a great job. 888-710-4ISN. See you guys on the phones. Is this more about John Shire or is it more about just the Duke program? You let us know where to give the credit. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
Oh, yeah. I like that music. All right, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We're debating kind of bigger brand, Duke or North Carolina, getting to the point. Is this all because of John Shire, or is this the brand, or what's the balance there? Is it all Cooper Flagg is another question I think you're going to ask. By the way, they haven't won anything. We'll see if Houston beats Duke, that all these debates we're having kind of go by the wayside for now. And then we start debating, I don't know, what's the big storyline with Houston? Just can defense win a national title?
Yeah, they are the number one defense, like adjusted defense.
Shut out Tennessee.
Duke Houston is one side of the Final Four. Auburn, Florida, the all-SEC matchup on the other side. So it's exciting. All four number one seats.
I think the SEC did fine this tour. I think they...
Two out of four is
They definitely did not disappoint after getting all those teams in. Felt a little shaky on the first couple days of the tournament because they did have a bunch of teams who lost to the higher seeds. But yeah, it's weird. It's a weird new world of college basketball. I don't understand it. I don't think anybody does. Like, it's hard to pick out a trend, as you pointed out.
I don't think there is one. I think this year we get all four number one seeds. So enjoy the heavyweights. Enjoy the blue bloods, the heavy hitters. Meanwhile, we're asking you also, are you giving more credit to John Shire for this run to the Final Four or just the Duke program? Of course, it's been 3 years since Coach K retired. But you hear that upbeat music, which means it's time to update the Maggie and Perloff movie sequel.
I actually was wondering, why are we playing that music? Is that the
We've been playing it every day, every time.
For the movie bracket?
Yes.
Oh. All right.
This is like our eighth time playing it.
What's this movie bracket thing again?
Welcome to the show.
Movie sequels. That's the assignment. We are trying to find the greatest movie sequel of all time. And believe it or not, guys, we're to the Sweet 16, so we're going to update you on two different regions. Let's start in Gotham City, where it's the number one overall seed, the Dark Knight.
Who appointed the Batman?
We did.
All of us who stood by and let scum take control of our city.
But this is a democracy, Harvey.
When their enemies were at the gates, the Romans would suspend democracy and appoint one man to protect the city. And it wasn't considered an honor. It was considered a public service.
Harvey, the last man that they appointed to protect the Republic was named Caesar, and he never gave up his power.
Okay, fine. You either die a hero, or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Look, whoever the Batman is, he doesn't want to do this for the rest of his life. How could he? Batman is looking for someone to take up his mantle.
That's the one seed, the Dark Knight. It takes on the 5 seed in this region, Kill Bill Volume 2.
Can we just forget the past? Batwoman deserves her revenge. And we deserve to die. Then again, so does she.
or the Maggie Perloff's sequels, movie sequels bracket. The three seed in the Gotham City region is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
The other right.
Oh, it's
on your right.
I'm inside.
I can't do it.
You can do it.
Feel inside.
You feel inside.
Do it now.
Okay.
Are going to die.
Man, John Williams as a composer, just chef's kiss. Okay, we're on to the Corleone region in the Maggie and Perloff Sweet 16 of the movie sequels bracket, the number one overall seed in this. Excuse me? Oh, sorry. Well, I never said who Indiana Jones was facing off against. My bad. The 7th seed, John Wick 2. How dare I?
Tell me, Mr. Wick, is this a formal event or a social affair?
Social.
And is this for day or evening?
I need one for day and one for night.
We contoured grips, flared magwell for easier reloads, and I know you'll appreciate the custom porting. What's next?
I need something robust, precise.
Robust, precise.
Okay, sorry. That rounds out the Gotham City region.
That, by the way, summed up the entire John Wick experience in my mind. A lot of guns loading. And, yeah.
I still have yet to see them. Okay, let's move on. Maggie and Perloff movie sequel bracket. The Corleone region, the number one overall seed in this region, also advances. It's The Godfather 2.
He said there was something in it for me, on my own.
I've always taken care of you, brother.
Taking care of me? You're my kid brother, and you take care of me? Did you ever think about that? Did you ever once think about that? Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. Send Fredo to pick somebody up at the airport. I'm your older brother, Mike, and I was stepped over.
That's the way Pop wanted it.
It ain't the way I wanted it.
An all-time scene. Did you guys have a conversation when I was out sick last week about should... No. Fredo have gotten it.
Yeah, did you get that angry text from our buddy Andy Staples?
I did, and I was so sick.
People here
respond.
Thought that was the most ridiculous take in the history of movies.
That Fredo didn't deserve to die?
No, Staples was mad at us for ruining the spoiler.
I mean, the movie came out in like 1979.
73, I think.
Sorry.
73 or 74.
Did Fredo deserve to die? All-time great poll question by you guys.
Yeah, I mean, but now I guess we're in trouble for it.
Yeah,
Fredo gets killed.
Coming on the show anytime soon.
Wow, yeah. Come on, Andy. You got Florida's in the final four. Chill out. Okay, the fourth seed. The fourth seed in this Corleone region going up against The Godfather 2 is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Gamora is not the one for you, Quill. Shadow. There are two types of beings in the universe. Those who dance and those who do not.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You just need to find a woman who is pathetic. Like you.
Mm.
Okay, and finally here, rounding out the Corleone region, it's the 3 seed. We got a lot of chalk here. 3 seed, Top Gun Maverick.
Penny.
Too late? What? You're about to ask me the time I get off. Don't give me that look.
I'm not giving you any look, I swear.
It always ends the same with us, P. Let's not start this time. Okay.
You look good.
I was cringing in that scene. Okay, and the 2 seed in this region is the Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers.
Lord and King stands alone.
Not alone.
Rohirrim!
Amen.
There you go. So that's the Sweet 16 on two different regions. Open for voting now. Go to Maggie and Pearl on X and vote for your favorite movie sequel. There you go.
Got some heavyweights. Yeah. Dark Knight, Godfather 2. Seemed like they're on a Auburn-Duke-like collision course.
Do you guys know, speaking of Fredo, we'll get to Bogus in just a second. So Fredo, the actor who played him, John Cazale.
Oh, yeah.
What an all-time run. So he, unfortunately, died very young. But he was in The Godfather, yeah. The Conversation, Godfather 2, Dog Day Afternoon, mm-hmm. and The Deer Hunter. That's an incredible IMDb.
How many of those have you seen?
I've seen The Deer Hunter, Dog Day Afternoon, both Godfathers. I've never seen The Conversation.
Okay. All right. I just want to, because I feel like there's some, a lot of people on these sequels are saying, I haven't seen this movie. I haven't seen that movie. And I know EJ, how many have you seen?
I don't know if I've seen any of those movies.
You only see The Godfathers. No.
No, we've talked about this. Oh, I've never seen The Godfather.
You should watch them. They're good.
I don't deny that they're probably awesome. I've seen a lot, but I feel like it's one of those movies where, similar to what we were talking about, I know everything that happens.
Right. Watch it. So this is the selection committee, right? So this is much like Bubba Cunningham picking North Carolina to make it. Is
we went to AI for the seeds.
We went to AI.
Yeah, but you pick the movies.
Right, but Godfather, what I didn't see, but I know it was the number one seed.
But I don't know if I can trust any of your opinions if you don't know The Godfather.
Well, it was a committee. It wasn't just right. Bubba Cunningham.
Well, Maggie's there was a committee, and it wasn't just Bubba Cunningham.
Maggie's never seen Guardians, and that's saw Guardians. So that's why there's multiple people, right? So we all have different
takes.
But
there's levels to sequels now.
Thank you.
Well, that's what we're trying to find out. Who's the best?
Ray's face when he found out EJ didn't see The Godfather.
I know. It happens. I mean, listen.
I'm not a mob movie guy.
It's a good movie. It's a great movie.
No, I'm not saying that. I keep saying it's great. I don't know. You guys keep acting like I don't think it's a great movie. I know it's a great movie.
You can't think it's a great movie. You haven't seen it.
No,
I've seen a million scenes now. I literally have been cutting all these clips for the last 2 weeks.
I'll tell you what, though. If you're going to sit down and watch The Deer Hunter, which did not have a sequel, you got to be in the right mood for that one. That is, that's a hard one.
Let me ask you a question about this. You're not a mob movie guy. I feel like everybody's a mob. Like, why would you? What do you not enjoy about mob movies? They're great stories. Just the idea of the mafia?
It's not interesting. It's not that interesting to me. Like, that genre is just not
that. I don't understand that at all. It's the best movies are mob movies.
The mafia?
Mafia, narcos, anything involving organized crime, I'm all in. Anything about a cartel, I'm in. Anything about the mafia, I will watch a Netflix documentary until 2 in the morning.
And, I mean, Guardians is a gang movie. It's a gang of 5 or 6 with a tree. I mean, like,
it's not a gang movie.
Do they take it off?
It's a galactic gang movie.
Yeah.
Do they wear plaid suits?
It's more close to Star Wars than a gang movie.
Organized crime.
Star Wars?
Organized crime throughout this galaxy? Is that what we're talking
about? Kind of. Kind of. There's a mobster inspiration. I say Thanos has some Godfather in him.
Listen, I watched the Penguin.
Thanos wiped out half the galaxy.
I watched the Penguin. I feel like I've seen what mob movies represent. And they're awesome. I'm not denying that they're awesome. It's just not. I'm not chasing them. Is what I'm saying.
I get it. And sometimes they can be a little similar.
You sound like me now. You're contradicting yourself a little bit because you said I'm not into mob movies. Now you're saying they're awesome. If they're awesome, why aren't you into them?
Oh, I mean, because I can understand something being not for me but still being great. And that's the problem with, I think, this world is that people think that if it's not for them, that means it sucks,
right.
Which I hate. It's like, if it's not for you, it's not for you. It doesn't mean it's not great art. I recognize great art. It's just I'm not chasing mob movies.
The other part, too, is, you know, they kind of can become a little similar, right? You've not that they're not all good movies, but do you really need to see Donnie Brasco if you've also
seen? Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And Carlito's Way. Yeah. And Casino.
Carlito's Way, I've seen 100 times.
Come on.
Carlito's Way is such a ridiculous movie if you go back to it. Like, why is Sean Penn is the lawyer? They break out of Rikers. It is so weird in that movie.
Carlito's Way? It's Carlito.
He's doing cocaine off the desk. What? Well, that's a lot of movies, I guess.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah, every movie. Do we have, first of all, I've also seen Donnie Brasco 1,000 times. Yes, these are great movies. And Goodfellas, of course, is the goat of all goats. And a lot of people, my former boss, Dan Patrick, had never seen Goodfellas and would drive the rest of us crazy. Because Goodfellas, from the opening, whatever, credit to the end, is a perfect movie.
It's my dad's favorite movie, and I think every month he literally says, why haven't you watched Goodfellas yet?
Yeah, it's on TV 27 times a day, too.
No. Gonna be honest, though, it's not an upper. It's
yes, it is.
It's depressing.
Technically an upper. It's Coke.
Everyone's on uppers, but it's not an upper.
Yeah, Goodfellas. These are all classics. But I hear you, man.
Like
at least
Sopranos,
you're consistent.
Was great, but it's depressing to watch that.
Yeah, I'm not running to see The Sopranos, and I'm sure it's amazing.
I would stop after The Sopranos is great. Then I would just cut. Then you're good.
Meanwhile, Bogus has headlines.
Tom Izzo is pretty good at getting his team into the Final Four 8 previous trips. He also had never lost to an SEC team in the tourney, but Auburn got in the way of all of that yesterday in Atlanta. Sparty never recovered from an early 17-0 Tiger run, getting no closer than 5 and losing by 6, 70-64.
These guys gave me everything they had and drained them of everything. They're... should take a week off. There's nothing left in them. And that's kind of the way it was in the locker room. It was a tear-jerking locker room because they knew they spilled it all.
Michigan State had an opening when Jani Broome left the game mid-second half with that right elbow injury but did not take advantage. Then Broome made a stunning return to the game, hit a 3, and Auburn got to the finish line. This is the second Final Four in school history, 5 years after the first. It's number 7 for Houston after drilling Tennessee 69-50. The Vols scored just 15 first-half points, the fewest in an Elite Eight game since 1979. Now, if Manny is falling apart physically being on our team, it's a very good thing he does not play for Kelvin Sampson.
We do 18 100-yard sprints in time. And if anybody doesn't make it, we start over. That's part of our culture. You be on time, and you're held accountable for everything you do.
Wait, so someone's 1 minute late? And it's 18 100-yard sprints?
No. They run like regularly the 18 100-yard sprints. And if anybody doesn't hit the allotted time,
they start again
at 1.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he meant if you're late to practice, we're running.
It's part of the accountability.
Got it.
Yes.
But not a lot of body fat on that Houston team.
No.
You think?
Those guys are ripped.
So Saturday's schedule in San Antonio is Auburn, Florida, then Duke, Houston. Just the second Final Four ever with 4-1 seeds. The previous time was 2008 in San Antonio as well.
How many sprints do you think Manny can do coming in hungover? For Kelvin Sampson practice. Like, how many would he get through?
Manny said he could run a faster 40 time than Xavier Restrepo.
Yeah.
youth.
He also, and I think of it, had the gall to send us a picture of him holding a glass of beer, and then he wouldn't admit to being hungover the next morning while he was groaning in a corner.
That was funny. I never do that thing of, like, my athletic career because I can't hold a candle to even the lowest, worst person that we talk about. I never, ever pull that when I was in high school. But can I tell you guys one thing that used to happen when I was at tennis? I used to go to tennis camp.
Oh,
right, I know. If you, however many minutes late you were to curfew, you had to do the iron chair for that many minutes.
What's the iron chair? What is the iron chair?
The iron chair is when
are they wall sits?
Wall sits. Mm. You sit against the wall and squat, and however many minutes, that's how many minutes you do the iron chair.
That's not the thing in Game of Thrones.
That's the Iron Throne.
Precursor.
I wish it was the Iron Throne. No, the iron chair was probably just as painful as some of the characters in Game of Thrones got it.
Wall sits are terrible. Like when I go to PT and I see other people doing wall sits, I'm not there yet, but I wonder, oh man, that better not be in my future. I'm just going to opt out of those.
The first teams into the women's Final Four are South Carolina and UCLA. The Gamecocks, the defending champs, getting this far for the fifth year in a row, 54-50 over Duke, and the Bruins getting this far for the very first time through a 72-65 win over LSU. I didn't get to mention last hour that 5 players plus Pistons head coach J.B. Bickerstaff and T-Wolves assistant Pablo Prigioni all got tossed for their roles in that brawl in Minnesota last night. The T-Wolves also won the game 123-104. Kevin Durant twisted his left ankle in the third quarter of the Suns' 148-109 beating from Houston. The Rockets have now won 12 of 13, have a 2-game lead on Denver for second out west. And Alex Ovechkin scored in the Caps' 8-5 loss to the Sabres yesterday. That's 890 for his career, so he needs 5 goals with 9 games left to pass Wayne Gretzky for the most all time. Back to you guys.
Is he going to do it?
I still think so.
So he's still at 9 games? I feel like this season is going slow.
Yeah.
He hadn't played in a while then, huh? Because he was, anyway, I think he gets it, but I love Maggie's obsession with, and mine too, about Wayne Gretzky's travel schedule around this.
Well,
it's going to be super annoying.
I don't think Wayne is traveling around to see Ovechkin break his record. I think it's a videotape. We're getting a videotape.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think we're getting something that's going to play on the Jumbotron. We already went through this. Wayne Gretzky, way too busy to be doing this.
But
Doing what?
Yeah. No, I didn't know. I didn't know that's where we came down. I did not know you came down that way. I thought the debate was does he go with three goals left or one goal left?
No, Maggie keeps acting like he's like the Canadian prime minister.
Oh, right.
He hangs out on TV like Wednesday nights on TNT and he plays golf. That's what he does. He's got the time to chase Ovechkin if he wants to.
And they have a good relationship as far as we know.
As far as we know.
Listen, Wayne Gretzky's not getting out of bed for that. In my vision of Wayne Gretzky, he just is living the ultimate life.
He's like getting out of bed for the all-time goals record being broken. You make it sound like it's like, you know, a three-game win streak in December.
I'll show bet you guys on this one. I'll buy breakfast. Wayne, I don't think, is going to be there. I think he's going to do a videotape. It's going to be on the Jumbotron. Hey, congrats, OV, and something, something.
He's on a pregame show with Paul Bissonnette. I mean, it's not like he's...
he's got some free time.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't think if you're not paying Wayne to be there, I don't know if he's going to be there.
Agreed.
And you don't think he's going to profit off this somehow? Maybe he is getting paid. Maybe there's a way to get him paid.
It didn't seem like he was really into it in the Four Nations Cup. I don't know. I just don't know if Wayne is doing that.
We got a show bet. Yeah, Maggie breakfast, and we'll all split breakfast for Maggie.
Yeah. This sounds personal. Did Wayne like no show at an event for you or something like that?
No, I love
did
Wayne.
You try to get him to come to something and he wouldn't do it?
No, this is the opposite. In my world, like Wayne Gretzky lives like the best retirement life.
He does. Yeah. He plays golf with Janet Gretzky.
The other part is we know that like Michael Jordan's got like some hangups, you know, like sometimes Mike seems to have a bit of a gambling affinity.
Right.
He definitely was drinking during his entire documentary, which nobody raised an eyebrow about. But Wayne seems like he's just living awesome.
Well, LeBron gets hammered on his podcast. And nobody seems in season. Nobody cares about that.
888-710-4ISN. It is the Maggie and Perloff Show. We've got a lot more to do, including football news this morning. Mike Tomlin speaking to the media this morning. We'll update you on that. And also baseball's big controversy. Don't move. Well,
take me out to the ball game. What are you doing? Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, We can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming up.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We'll get back to the Final Four in just a moment. But I know that it's a little bit, I don't say like bad form, when any athlete admits anything about a weakness in their team, you know, like, but Brock Purdy of the 49ers saying that the team was tired last year and that they were just exhausted, add in the injuries. I actually think this was right. I don't think that Brock, you know, I've been critical of Brock. We've been talking about whether or not he's going to get the contract every which way. He admitted on a podcast that guys were tired and just sort of out of steam and out of gas at the end of the season. I think he's absolutely right about this. I don't think that it's a bad thing to admit this. It makes me even more like, even more like in awe of the Kansas City Chiefs and how many games they're able to play every season and still keep up, you know, this incredible run. But, you know, you're talking about losing the Super Bowl in 2019. Okay, then they go 6-10, but then you're going to the conference title game, back-to-back seasons, and then losing in the Super Bowl. It's just a ton of games.
Yeah, no, you're consistent on this, that playing late in the season. But here's my question to the show. Remember I said this about the Eagles after they lost to the Chiefs, and I got mocked mercilessly by Andrew Bogus, who I asked EJ to bring in. The Eagles were tired after they lost 38-35 in that Super Bowl, and then they had this gauntlet of a schedule, and then they just lost all their energy. They went 10-1 and were clearly fatigued. So I think, and I thought, I was like, oh man, the defense looks tired. They're old. And also the way the team was designed, you can't be old in that situation because it's going to hurt you. I think that's hurt San Francisco.
Yeah, I think that here's the thing why we mocked you about the Eagles thing. You didn't just say that they got tired. You said they were still dehydrated from playing the Super Bowl in Phoenix.
Yeah, it's dry.
Arizona heat.
In December of the next year. So that's
Maggie,
where you lost us.
Have you not been reading about health and how important hydration is?
Get your Gatorade. And also the gaudy 10-1 record, right? Like, you would have thought that they were defying the odds, and it turns out they were not able to.
Well, they ran out of steam. They had some injuries, and, you know, their defense, they had a lot of, there was a lot going on, but it did feel like a similar kind of exhaustion for the Eagles. They just looked, their press conferences, they looked tired, they looked over it, and you kind of got that vibe from San Francisco last year.
Well, let's also be honest. San Francisco has gone a lot further than the Eagles, though, like, in this short amount of time. I know Eagles went to two different Super Bowls, but then you also lost what in the first round with Jalen Hurts starting.
Yeah, lost two first round games with Jalen Hurts.
And lost that one that we were just talking about where you start off the season 10-1 and then lose to Tampa and Baker Mayfield. So I think the 49ers have actually played a few more games. But here's the thing about the 49ers for this year. Really can't be an excuse this year. They've had a lot of talent go out of the building. I'm just very...
That's an excuse, right?
Well... What are they doing here? Like, are you going to get the Brock Purdy extension done? Or are you still looking around? Like, what was the point of letting all that talent go? And are you sure that you are able to fill in the gaps? Because I don't think they're doing a rebuilding year.
But if you go one by one, what is the move? Who they let go that is a real difference maker? I think every one of them, everyone individually is defensible. They were a lot of older guys, a lot of expensive guys. They tried to get Dre Greenlaw, who they wanted back. They couldn't quite pay up for him.
Yeah.
And one thing they did, they paid for a lot of special teams guys, which I like six or seven of them to start their special teams.
One of the things that I'm obviously most curious about the Purdy contract, first and foremost, because...
But he's going to be there anyway, though.
Okay, that's fine. I still think there's a possibility he gets traded. We've talked about this. I think there's a world, maybe, where they think Mac Jones can do the same thing that Brock Purdy did, and they don't want to pay him, and they trade him. There's another thing where... I wonder if you look at what they're still relying on guys who have had significant injuries. You're still relying on Christian McCaffrey. You're still relying on Nick Bosa. You're still relying on George Kittle. You're still relying on Trent Williams. These are, they may have solved some problems, but it's not like they have no guys in the lineup. And by the way, they're trying out here trying to trade Brandon Ayuk. You just signed him. It makes the left hand look like the right hand doesn't know what it's doing.
Well, I mean, talking about coming off significant injuries, Ayuk, and they got let Dre Greenlaw go coming off. So, you know, which way do you want it? Do you want to keep the guys off injury or lose them?
I'm just saying you're still relying on them.
Yeah, you have no choice.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.